just that kind of a person. He comes out of a management law firm in upstate New York. There's a kind of fraternity of these kind of people that if I call about 20 to 50, well, I can get the sentiment of the whole nation in no time. I've been doing that over the last weekend, and it will be a popular appointment. The problem that I have been concerned about more than anything else is that Dick Burris worked on the Hill with a lot of our friends in the Republican. He's a deserving Republican in their eyes.
Everybody wants to get something.
And that's the way I look at it. Frankly, Dick Burris worked at Lockheed and I did. I consider him a long-time acquaintance and friend. So this has been a very difficult thing for me to do, but I would have to tell you that...
You can't get a file with Burris, can you?
Something.
It's something.
It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It's something. It was one of the items we're hoping to get the Senate bonus and pay structure, even if it's a lot, because that's more in conformance with the volunteer army notion. And the House, we're pushing pretty hard the extra money for the career officers tonight.
Yeah.
How that...
What position is the governor in Woodstock on the SSU? By the way, Woodcock.
Woodcock.
That's right, Woodstock.
The,
He was against it.
I think he was against it.
Yeah, he was. He, that's right. Just watch what Senator Mondale does. Woodcock, Mondale, that acts as a skill.
Mondale and Hartke takes his orders from Woodcock. Absolutely, the UIW runs there.
By the way,
but
the good news
Meany is just, he'll never forgive Humphrey. Never forgive him.
35,000 guys are, he could have to do that, he could double that number.
He's also,
at least we're affected with the rebel effect of the damn thing.
Meany is also ready to run Humphrey right out of town, or Muskie right out of town. He's so furious about it. This environment business, you just hit a sensitive chord with me. He's furious.
I was talking, and John Conley chimed right in with, I deliberately threw John in rather than Maury. I knew that Maury would hit. Getting Conley to hit it was good.
Yeah, I think so.
Because of John, I just happened to be talking to Donald over the weekend, raised this point about $50 million in speed limits. I was thinking that enable wasn't a bad idea either. Well, it's really true, you know, we're all for the damn thing. We want, there is a, what do you call it, cost effect? You know,
cost effect.
I don't know, whatever you weigh. But when you have a project, for example, a reclamation, what do you do? The cost, how do you...
I have a benefit cost ratio.
Well, it's a benefit cost ratio, so forth. So here you got the benefit. This is the way the benefit is to clean up the river. The cost is here. You've got a way of, the same is true of insecticide, the same is true. You make a powerful argument like the Nobel Prize winner. He said, well, he said, it's going to be without the he says, maybe 100 million people aren't going to eat. How much do you want to let them starve? Or maybe risk a little poison?
I think a meeting like that, it's one of those situations, I think, where a lot of people think just what you said, but somehow it isn't proper to say it yet. And by bringing it out, it's not practical. By bringing it out and then suddenly finding, gee, here's this very diverse group of people, academic people, union people, business people, and they all have this feeling. And they start expressing it. Well, maybe then we'll begin to get some headway. I think it's one of those leadership things you have to do.
Another thing, too, the point that I made that I hope you would follow up on is extremely important. And in oversimplified terms, at a time, as we get into this enormous competitive situation in the next 25 years, at a time that the totalitarians turn our way, in other words, with the reward system, as you know, they've been turning our way for a long time. They're going to have to turn a hell of a lot more before they really get going. We should not turn their way, which of course gets back to the point there again that there is a line where the government should stop in terms of how much it takes, but also that it's the government should support. We must avoid just the government stepping in so many areas. And also find some areas we turn the other way. I really imagine the cities can't be saved, really, without turning an awful lot of these things over to non-government actions. And yet I'm not sure that'll ever happen.
Well, but it's got to happen.
Take trash collection. Christ, it shouldn't be done with the government. Just shouldn't be done with the government.
You
remember the big fight we had?
A lot of things in our social programs.
I know, but a lot of our social programs are being... You know that he already was against the private charge collection, the private, but he was wrong. He got elected on it. He won on it. He won the people on it because the private people were making all this profit. But on the other hand, they took this and they processed the cans and all the rest, and they did it better than the damn city. They'll do it. Now it's costing the city more money.
Well, he won it on the basis of appealing to the housewife that she could put all her trash in one thing and get it picked up free.
I know.
Whether it was private or public, the housewife couldn't care less.
That's right.
But he did it this other time.
Very clever. And under the system, they But on the other hand, it saved the taxpayers a hell of a lot of money to do it that way. So, and there we are. And of course, everybody who can follow that kind of risk of nodding, everybody who lives in New York has really got his dauber down about New York's capability of running itself. Huh?
That's
a damn bummer.
Risky. He does, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a very good risky bummer. Who was the Southerner at the end there?
Harley Grant. He's far ahead of something called the Southern Company.
Good
Public Utility.
That's a good guy.
No, it's called the Southern Company. And he's a very strong supporter of yours.
He seemed to be very effective. I like what he taught.
He's retiring.
North Carolina, is he from North Carolina?
Sure, I believe.
Harley Branch. Is he retiring?
He's retiring at the end of June, and he came around to say that if you wanted him to leave the commission for that reason, why he'd be glad to, but he sort of wants to stay on.
No. He handles himself very well in there, too. Tries to pull things together.
And he's our Southerner.
Our house Southerner. Our Southern strategy. Well, you think we'll have another meeting next fall or not?
Yes, I think the spirit was good, and I...
Oh, I think we'll...
Sir, we have
will issue a statement.
This statement that's, doesn't years. Say all that much, except that, it says that these things are important, and that's worth saying.
Yeah.
And we'll get that agreed on.
The thing I do want you to do, though, before we get to California in charge, is to go sit down with Pete Peterson. And I think probably he ought to be out there, because of his enormous interest in this thing. You know, he's doing a lot of thinking about this. Applied research did, you know, and I know you are, John Erdman is, and the rest, but I just have a feeling, that there may be something there that we can grab. Something, you know, I don't work for any of the money, I understand, but we can take the hell out of it. We can take something out of NASA. Of course, we should take it out of that, put it in the budget. But let's just do something about it. And also, we do things in terms, certainly in terms of the tax program. If we do vote for anything to change the tax rule, I think we ought to do something fairly massive. I would see no reason why you shouldn't, if you have a value added, have an extra percent, put $5 million into a new NASA. For what? For anything. You know, I think that in terms of the subsidy of applied research, right? That SFC just makes me sick when you do that.
There's idea
that maybe the water is saline waters, and maybe it's the nuclear power, maybe, but there's a hell of a lot of things, and see, that's why I wish that your commission would come up with some specifics. Now, damn it, they must know. Let's pick five or six areas. Huh?
I don't think about one is there's a lot of talent to do this kind of thing you're talking about, and the second is the circumstance of the last couple of years has sort of turned off the technological community about us. This is bringing back money.
Yeah, well, NASA, for example, we're cutting them back. The defense fund cutbacks and cut off the technological community. And, of course, the war. The other thing I was going to say, though, that if get five or six things, let's really see them. We've been talking to them, and I said, we need to be. I said, now, have you got some things? He says, oh, yes, I've got some. Well, all right, let's see what they are. You see, the trouble that both of you have got to read is that almost everybody, like Woodcock comes up, everybody who punch a button, and they says, let's take all the space engineers and make them clean up the rivers, or the air, the environmental care. Damn it, that isn't it. That is not it, believe me. I understand, I think it's important, but I think the place that air is going to be cleaned up is in the automobile industry. I really think it's going to be done there. I mean, the emissions, so forth. The river thing and the rest, that's still, we've all looked at it all over, and there's no easy way to clean up the river, is there? Conley's right. You've got to cut off. You've got to stop your sewers going into there, and you've got to stop the farmers from irrigating and pouring the water into there, whatever they do. But what I'm getting at is that aren't there some other areas other than the environment where we can go for the new moonshot? Now we're going for it in the nuclear power plant. We're going for it in terms of the saline water. We're going for it. But there must be some other areas where the United States, with its enormous technological capability, decides we're going to do something and lead. According to Peterson, he says there's a hell of a lot of places that the Japanese don't think. where they're glad.
Yeah, I think there are, and I also think the notion of working out a type of tax arrangement that encourages private research efforts,
yeah,
so that you get the diversity of the enterprise of many different things. And there was an idea brought out in the Productivity Commission discussion a couple of times now that I think might very well be a pretty good one on this. So,
no, but I, on this case, let me say that the department, my conventional conservative philosophy, this is one area where I believe where you've got the Germans and the Japanese, the Europeans, the Japanese, as well as the Russians and the Chinese, all in some varying degrees, some in the element and others in partial degrees, having government subsidy in particular areas. Let's not back away from it. Let's do it. I mean, if in order to do something, let's do it. And I recoil at the idea of having a government subsidy if it's just going to mean that we're doing something that private enterprise ought to do. But this may be, or it just may be, that we got to kick it off. Because let's face it, you know, it's really true. When you stop the man, how the hell would Lockheed get created? And I noticed the testimony of the Lockheed president taking us and then assuming that we become first air. We didn't become first air branch because civilian air. Person in our air marines because we needed a military airline, right? So Boeing built the damn bombers, right? And then they went into that, and so did General Dynamics and all the rest. Well, Robert Morris and he would never be in our hands. And the reason why that is subsidy, just straight subsidy.
Same thing is true in our other big balance of payments item, namely computers.
Is that a result of space?
Well, space, and also the big patron, and it was military and the Census Bureau and so on. That's what got these computers going.
You see what I mean? Can I friend Milton Friedman would like to hear this kind of talk, but basically, I say just make damn sure that government does what it needs to be done. The whole philosophy is this. The whole philosophy is that our way is the private enterprise way. Always choose that way when you can. But when private enterprise won't or can't do what needs to be done, the government has got to do it. Now, just as simple as that. And that's what we got here. Either private enterprise won't. There's no interest in it. And therefore, that's when the government gets into all this social stuff. Or it can't. Because it doesn't have the funds, something that we want to, we can't, then set it off. And that still would go for in this, like I know in this telecommunications and the rest, I'm all for the private thing of doing it. TVA, sell the damn thing.
Well, the private can come in, even if it is a government enterprise, just as you said on NASA. NASA supports a hell of a big, a bunch of private
companies. How do we do it? How does NASA do it? NASA is a very good management thing. Government supports the government. But they contract all this stuff out.
That's right. That's what Jim Witt says. All I have is a management team.
I refer to that. And he contracts it out to a bunch of brilliant, I think, brilliant managers in the private sector, which he could never build in the public sector. He nurtured it. Take another look at another thing. I'm not sure that we don't want to get them. Now, these nuclear power plants, we are moving those into the private industry. But and this moves in the other direction, why the hell would we find ways to move more of the AEC stuff out of the public into the private?
Well, we've been trying to do some of that, and it's quite a struggle with the joint. There's kind of a gradual process of doing that. Of course, the AEC contracts out the Argonne Lab, for example, is an AEC lab. I don't know what the Brookhaven Lab, I guess that's a non-profit organization that they've set up. But let me check on that further. I know that we've been putting the pressure on to privatize a lot of the AEC stuff, and we've kind of in a struggle with it.
But you know, the reprivatization thing, find everything you possibly can just for symbolism and we do some of that, Jim. Mm-hmm. You just got to do it. And I put somebody on that all through the OVM. Find things that we can read, that we can have, so we can talk about it a little. That can have an enormous effect on those who just philosophically are repelled by our huge budgets, by our growing government, by our welfare programs, by our family assistance and all the rest, all of which government should do. I recognize that. But if they're repelled by that, let's start and show them that really when we come down to it in terms of what produces wealth, we know government doesn't produce a goddamn thing. And we prefer to do it through private enterprise, private institutions, private schools. Well, I'll see you tonight.
Well, that was a very, very worthwhile thing. I think it
important people, and I think they may go back. They might go back and do something. Maybe they are important people.
Well, we have a little.
That was a powerful group.
It's very.
I got Edwin and Woodcock and Abel all in the same room. Joe Byrne.
You get that?
That's a powerful group, and then of course Roach. And Branch, Ed Carter, head of the biggest bank in Carter.
Well, you get that group lined up behind a program on the necessity for certain kinds of research and the program to do something with it, and it's pretty damn irresistible.
Right. Well, what I'd like to do is to be able to say some things that are quite very soon, within a couple months, that are quite exciting in this. I'm speaking now about the research thing. I just think that we've got to set some sort of a goal on that thing that goes very, very far.
So the thing that we could...
You know, I was just going to ask Rose about something we were talking about yesterday. All right, I'll call her tomorrow. Thanks, Rose.
The thing that we can push for, I think this is a good idea, is to have a larger conference of the type we talked about, say, in mid-September sometime, and use the Productivity Commission as a basis for it. We'll have a statement that they'll approve that's a general statement about the importance of this topic. We'll have a bunch of more detailed statements and studies which they won't have approved, but which we can distribute, saying these have come out of the discussions and we put them forward for discussion pieces. And we could put together a day of that might run like a walrus and a
see if this is your name. If they're busy, it is not your time.
Well, Brisbane has agreed to speak at a meeting of this kind on the management side. He's being the president speaker. I'm pretty sure we can get George Meany to do the same. Although he may drag his feet and not one of the places
coming around. So.
Somebody like Howard Johnson or one of the public people, we can have some discussions in smaller workshops, point toward some of these things, and we can wind up with an address by you to the group,
right?
You'd get about 150 of a very high-powered and diverse group together. Some sort of
program. Well, in terms of basic economy, well, we have no illusions. I mean, we'll never have a political support meeting or of course not. But, on the other hand, particularly with regard to the first two, we're, of course, all dedicated partisans. But it tends to mitigate to a certain extent. They can be out of bands a hell of a lot harder than they are.
But you can absolutely.
And they like to neutralize it. They like to sit down.
Really?
Sure.
Well, they can
sit down.
Take the politics out of it and say to me, who do you agree with on most things more? Muskie or the president? And he'll tell you just like that. Number one. I agree with him on the war, I agree with him on the environment, I agree with him on the terrorism, I agree with him on crime, I agree with him on growth, I agree with him on youth.
But not the economy.
Well, that's the economy.
But you know, what would cure that?
Move it up a little.
Yeah, so, within a year,
and I advise y'all, I'm still saying, I had a comment here today, and he went out, and I said, let's take a compromise here. together, it is not.
Well, it isn't all that bad.
But you know, I take a look.
Just isn't all that bad.
I know it may be, or
have all males, that's wrong, I think.
I mean, the figures that, of some content, he's here, he had it down. I mean, it really wears in its youth.
And I mean, if they look at the young people, at least during the school year, that 50% of those young people would say they're unemployed and are students. They just learn to go part-time. And so they're gone.
So we count that as unemployed people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other comments? Calling back to the comments.
Yeah. All right.
Sir, is that for me?
No, just...
Oh, I hate it. Sure, you can have them. Well, you can have them. You're... That keeps you. You got the complete grant on this, so I have to start. Well, you're gonna handle that. Yeah, yeah. Well, if they have a hearing, though, you'll handle it, won't you? Oh, you did. What do you eat? Oh, I stick around here. I'm sitting here. I'll get in the Security Council people now. I'm going to talk with them about this. We'll be in touch with you tomorrow morning. Yeah. Bye. Okay. Good. Well, I won't call you till a quarter to ten. Yeah. All right, fine. Good. Okay. Good. Thank you. Bye. Thank you very much. He says, whatever you tell me to do, I will make no move. I said, he says, I'm not particularly prayer or anybody else, or errands, anybody else. Says, I've told you I'd do anything you want.
See,
so I, our man.
What I get.
What he'll do, you understand, he'll kill it. You see, what he would do is not to agree, is not to agree to any compromise language on this particular provision. That means that then the conference will deadlock, because the Senate, of course, cannot agree to nothing on this unless they see when you've got a thing in conference, you've got to have something that agrees to something, or then there's a deadlock.
I haven't got the exact language in front of me now, so
I don't know what it is. This is, I understand, a repetition of the October 7th. Is that true? I don't know what the language is.
No, the language takes out the deadline. It makes the ceasefire conditional, right?
Makes it a deadline contingent on ceasefire and return to prison.
And return to prison. But it doesn't set any name, set any time. If we negotiate a deadline conditioned on a ceasefire.
Yeah, but that has two, that's two-edged, because that means if the if they say 6 months or 3 months, and they release prisoners, and
if they say,
but supposing the other side says we'll release your prisoners in 3 months and give you a ceasefire, provided you get your troops out within 3 months.
Or you mean that it's split at that. So, well, what's the alternative is to not have the draft for a while. That's the thing we have to think about.
Well, if there's a deadlock, we can still offer the compromise on July 15th.
Maybe a withdrawal, a ceasefire.
basically our plan, so we can basically live with it.
We can negotiate it. Well, I know that is what I'm getting at, is what else, what our option is. We've got some, this question of this, some worse, and we have to take this, and this question of this is something better than that one. We got our man, in other words, he'll kill everyone. Kill for the moment, but that also kills the driver's attention for a while.
Yeah, I think we then have to take some of these firmies. The issue, the question of Mucker.
Well, if you do this, you'll still get a filibuster in the Senate.
Well, they have to rebel. Some may not. It may not be those same, they've checked it out too, that they think that Mansfield has indicated that he would not support a filibuster. He will not support the conference amendments, but he would not support a filibuster. Whatever that means. Rebel with filibuster. But, it takes some support from the leadership for filibuster, or at least they have to turn the other way. I need to just rattle up the damn thing right through this time.
What to do if it's not going to make that many difference in the votes anyhow? Big question.
Better not to. No.
If,
I think what they're saying now is that if they're able to agree in conference to this, that they may be able to get the draft bill through. That's really what they're saying. So that's what you want. Is that with this language or deadlock, not a draft bill?
It's a simple, you know, I don't think the language is, it doesn't hurt us, but
the interpretation, Henry, of not having a draft bill can be bad. I mean, even though we know it's hung up for reasons that are technological, or I mean,
because I don't know how much our congressional people basically are on the other side of all of these things. So I can never be sure how much they're peddling on the hill of the soft language. And the danger we are running is that we'll be discouraging our friends and not gaining many enemies. But my general instinct, I have to confess, is to be hardline. And maybe that may be a wrong judgment in a congressional situation for which I don't have a good feel. I think most liberals are cowards. And
where do they go then? See, they can't, under the parliamentary situation, they cannot support it. They cannot have, a conference cannot agree unless they take something. That's the rule of the rules.
Unless the Senate drops its amendment.
They never do that. See what I mean? Is when one House has, for example, if you've got an appropriations bill, and one House has nothing and another House has 800 million, you got to put in 50 million. even though the one House wants nothing. Doesn't work that way in terms of...
But then are they forced to accept the conference report, or can they start playing around with that again? They can amend that again.
The conference report is up or down. If you have the language agreed to, then the Senate and the House then vote on the conference report for against, up or down. They don't amend it. You can't amend the conference report. The question is whether you get language as an article. But apparently means they think they got language was worked out down here, is what they said. Or at least we know them.
Well, we should never have gotten into that position. I told McGregor what reluctantly in the last eventuality we could barely live with, not something that we wanted.
Well, he wasn't...
My worry is if it gets around that this was worked out down here, then the next fight starts here. Then we've already accepted a deadline, ceasefire. Then we've given up the few, the reasonable chance to few, which we will give up in the negotiations if necessary, but... concern with congressional action It's not that we don't want to do the things they say, but that we don't want to be in the position to have to do them. Because once we are in a position to have to do them, we can no longer negotiate them very effectively.
Right. So your position is, frankly, to just let the draft latch for and hope that that developments may be such that maybe they'll change their minds. See, let me say, well, how is it going to be different back on the 15th of July than it is now? I mean, that they'll say, well, people must have something going that we don't know about, so therefore they might just accept.
Well, but at that time, we could get the word around saying, listen, you guys, we've pulled this one out. Well, how do you know that there aren't six other things going on and your policy is killing it, and you're going to force me on television to say why it's killing it? And frankly, if you just want to bug out at some point, I mean, or take a drastic step, it isn't bad to have to conquer it in a totally irresponsible position. Killing the draft. But if there has got to be an amendment, if it stays there, I just don't know how they'll interpret this. If they get less errands to support this sort of language,
doesn't really work that way. What it means is that the Senate and the House have pitched and argued and debated and so forth, and this is the compromise language in which the Senate conferees give up the deadlines. That's the way it'll be. That's the way it'll read. It isn't going to be the parents is advocating this. It's only that in order to find a compromise, he said, well, you've got to take that deadline out of there. That's the other side. The significant part, and from our standpoint, is the deadline comes out. That's why if the marriage is willing to support it, you do what we want to.
Well, because he may have been told that we want it.
True.
Which is what I suspect. Yeah, it's a close decision.
I've got to go speak to the FBI Kelly tomorrow, 10:30, and spot it. Suppose I give you a ring tomorrow. Because I got to call him here. Suppose now that I'm in the goddamn thing. Because he asked me. He said he wouldn't move. Unless he heard from me. So I can just say that. Look it around. I can support this language. Well, you better watch you check out Al. Check with what the situation is with regard to what the language. Have you seen the language?
No.
Well, we haven't either. All they gave was principles. The only thing we have, well, all they have, so we would not accept the deadline. We wouldn't do that. But then if you look at Member 7, they developed an amendment, apparently, which they think could compromise.
I haven't seen it.
Why don't you get a copy of whatever they're suggesting, and maybe you could modify it. That's the other thing possible. Modify it, put something else in. And then say, all right, here it is. Seemed to me, in terms of if it can work out, in terms of the bigger problem of that, the taking out of the deadline is a very, if we could get the Senate.
Except it can work two ways.
But
it can work two ways. Supposing Hanoi then, after all, in its plan, they give us 6 months. They have a ceasefire, and supposing they drop point three, they say 6 months, ceasefire, and POW, well, of course, we've got that anyway. We would have that problem anyway.
So, they're still arguing. That's probably what...
Way, the advantage of the resolution is that this is almost our seven-point plan.
That's right.
And they'll think it's a support for your seven-point plan.
That's exactly what instructions they got, you see.
And,
that's what they think they're doing, actually.
The only problem is we've then given all our hawk friends at the Congress will then know that you're already agreeable to a deadline.
Why?
Because that's what the sense of the Congress resolution
says.
No,
it doesn't say that at all. There's no deadline in it.
Not about to some deadline, not a 9 months one necessarily, but to the principle of a deadline.
Well, once you read the language and see if it is, take it out. I don't think it says that. I don't know. I haven't seen any language.
You do? You have either? No, I saw some language 2 days ago. I don't know if they had language.
Well, that's the main thing. I mean, you take a look at the language. You're the one that's going to have to deal with it when you're there and see if we have cleaned it up. And I will only let Abair agree to support whatever language we agree to want. If there's language in there that goes too far on the deadline side, we'll trim it up. Fair enough.
Okay.
Is that the bar? Yeah, let him kill it. One of the two. He'll do either one. We'll just let the thing ride. Maybe hoping we'll get better. See what this affects your next talk. Senate and House deadlocked on the threat. I'm not so sure it's good for you, though. Bank collapses. That's the headline. See, that's the cost we have today.
Let me look at the language, Mr. President. And
look at the language, and as a matter of fact, I'll try to get a look. I've got it.
Everything else is on salvo, Mr.
President. The plan's all
right. You got the papers. And
yeah.
Okay.
You can try it out. You got it.
Will you get that language
here? Yeah. Are you? We'll have our talk Thursday morning. Just see your window today.
Tomorrow night. But I'll change it if you prefer.
No, no, that's fine.
I'm seeing him for dinner tomorrow night.
Just lay down my own meal and come.
Right. You're going to review where we stand and we'll put out a few carrots. Not for the summit, but we really have, assuming they don't give us the summit, we do the really other thing. We need a big ploy. We need to have some carrot out there so that, for them so that they don't kick over the traces. Dangerous game. On the whole, it'd be a hell of a lot better if we got. They just have no leg to stand on if they give us a summit in Moscow. How can they object to our going to Peking? Will infuriate them, but the other one will try to shock them to it. And we just may have a year of absolute uncharted hell from them in the Middle East and elsewhere.
Yeah, let's look at what you're looking at, though. You're looking at the possibility that you're not going to get any word or something. That's why I just say to you, put them all away and try to be not going to get.
Well, the one advantage of our meeting on Thursday morning, Mr. President, is that I'll have had to talk with him on Wednesday night. I don't think he'll have had an answer by Wednesday night because their Politburo meets on Thursdays. So he'll probably get his answer if he gets it on Friday. Moscow, and how they've been stringing it along, maneuvering.
that thing around. And basically, they've always been forthcoming when we scared the most.
I must say, you're sure right on the check.